way I ask. And we ask these things. Go with us this week. Help us to be a witness for you. Open doors and help us to see them. Help us to recognize them and help us to take advantage of it, I pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. A little bit we've got to go. I want you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians, would you please? 2 Corinthians. I told you about Brother Morales' son. And I'm going to talk a little something about that because it goes beyond, I said 2 Corinthians 8. I hope that's what I said, but 2 Corinthians 8 where I would like you to be. 2 Corinthians 8 is the chapter that we use for missions. Faith promise missions, 2 Corinthians 8. No, I'm afraid not. I don't have a problem with using it for that, but that's not what it's about. How many times have I heard someone say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly? And the principle they speak of I agree with, but it's always about giving to faith promise missions, and that is not what 2 Corinthians 8 is all about. 2 Corinthians 8 is about helping. Actually, it stemmed from a ministry that developed in the early church. I told you this morning in Sunday school that Acts records the downward trajectory of the church at Jerusalem while the ever-increasing trajectory of the church at Antioch. Antioch became the missions church, not Jerusalem. Jerusalem was commissioned to it, but they didn't fulfill it, and so God said, I'll get somebody else. From that point on, Jerusalem became known in the early church as the poor saints at Jerusalem. You say, why were they poor? Well, more than likely because there was no more volatile place to be a Christian than in Jerusalem. You could lose your job if your boss found out that you were a Jesus believer. In Jerusalem? Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not saying that would have changed had they been busy about the Lord's business, but it might have changed Jerusalem a bit more. I don't know. I just know this. I know it was bad enough to where they needed assistance. What 2 Corinthians 8 is about is it about that assistance. And it shows up all through the Bible. In the book of Romans, Paul said, they have given unto me matter of fact, just go there, hold your fingers and go there, and I'll just read it to you. Romans chapter 16, he makes mention of this offering, and he says, I believe it's 16, it might be 15. And let me see where I can find where it's at. Brother, I'd take some help right now if you knew where it's at. I'm looking for where he talked about what'd you say, Brother John? Okay, 15, where he's talking about that giving to the saints. 25 and 26, go there, yeah. Yeah, that's it, right, there we go. Look what it says. It says in 25, it says, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them the spiritual, the carnal things. That almost sounds like the offering to the preacher, but what he's saying that these Jewish believers in Jerusalem, these Gentiles are their debtor because the gospel came to them, but that means, he said, and so they've taken an offering up to try to be a help to them. He makes mention of it again in 1 Corinthians. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, you were ready to do something about this and to be participate in this a year ago. He said, now get to the doing of it. So the whole idea is a ministering to the saints. With that being said, look in verse 1 of chapter 8, down through verse 4 or 5. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. There's not one mathematical equation that'll make that work. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. That doesn't even make sense. And it would not make sense if it were not the grace of God was bestowed upon them. This is called the grace of giving, but that's not what I want to talk about. He says in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. There is so much in these verses, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I want to talk to you a little while about this idea, the ministering to the saints. Now the fact is, we take up missions giving and we give to missions, but this has nothing with missions giving. Missions giving is funding someone's livelihood so they can go preach the gospel. This is different. This is a church and people that have found themselves in a hardship. The hardship of, I've lost my job, my boss found out I was just baptized as a disciple of Jesus Christ and he fired me. I was in a house and I was paying my rent and they've taken the house away. It's that kind of stuff. In other words, things if you would, listen, this is it, and I'm not against this is the ministering to saints, but there's also the case of just being a help to someone. If someone is, if someone's just down and out, as opportunity arises, do good to all men. And sometimes there's just people you help out. You just help out. There's people that are in need, and you say, let's give them a little something. We have gift cards in the safe, and someone comes by, we'll give them a gift card, fill their tank up, something like that. Someone says, they might take that gift card, and normally with gift cards, you can't buy wine and booze and stuff like that. But you ever not give something to someone? Here's someone, I was talking to my son down in Houston at that time, and several years ago, or a few years back, and he said, he was talking about just helping someone out. He said, I got to the place where he said, if I'm walking by in they're in the street, and I said, they got a pan or a hat or something, he said, I'll drop $5 in or something like that. And I said, he said, I know what everybody thinks. He said, well, they'll probably take that and buy cigarettes, and they'll probably take that and buy alcohol or whatever. And he made a statement, I thought, wow. He said the story was told of a man was walking with his daughter and there was a panhandler on the street and he was there and he was down and out. And you always say, is it real or is it not? I don't know. What would they do with it? I don't know. And he walked by and he took a $10 bill and the man dropped the $10 bill in and walked by and said, Dad, he's just going to buy cigarettes with that. And the dad looked at her and said, that's true, he might. But he might buy food with it. And he said, honey, what he does with what I gave him says a lot about his character. But what I do about him says a lot about mine. That's a good thought. And there is that kind of ministering, but here it's not like that. Here it's believers. And the believers have hit on hard times, and it's hard times because of their stand for Jesus Christ. Now, I emphasize that for this reason. I made mention to you about a young man that I would like to help out. And whether we took an offering up or whether we took it from the surplus of what the church has, either way, you say, well, why would you do that? I'll tell you why I'd do that. I want you to listen carefully. A missionary is like different than anybody else in this country. A missionary, number one, leaves this land of plenty and leaves this land of normalcy and goes to a strange land of a strange currency, of a strange culture, of a strange language. And I'm going to raise my family here. Enough said. I told you when there was a brother that had his son come back, there was probably about 3, 4, maybe 5 when he went to the mission field. Time was for him to bring his son back, and he brought his son back, and that son stayed with us for about 3 months, stayed with my wife and I and my kids. And as I listened to him and I talked to him, I realized this young man is more that country's culture than he is American culture. Now, like it or not, I don't like a lot of the culture of America, but I like my kids being Americans. And that was a price that man paid for going where God called him. So he comes over here and the boy struggles to adjust. Just like you would struggle to go to a strange country where there's a strange culture. He had the same thing going on. And it's something I never thought about. I've seen that repeated, matter of fact, since then. And then I thought, not only that, but at that same time, I thought, what would I do if I had to go across the ocean, 8-10 hour flight, in his case, 12-hour flight, and drop the son off and thank you for being a good son and thank you for working in the ministry and here's your life. And there is no stopping in to see him. There's no taking him out to lunch. There is no coffee. He's gone. Dad's gone back and there's an entire world that separates them. Whether we realize it or not, that young man is paying a price for the cause of Christ. That husband and wife, that mom and dad is paying a price for the cause of Christ. A price you don't pay. A price I don't pay. They don't. I don't think there's anything on this side of, in this country, that seems to match it. And yet I'm hearing about it more and more and more. When the kids get old enough and the parents are there and they're nervous and the parents are there and they're concerned. But outside of leaving where God called me to be, what can I do? I think there's also cases we saw this week. We saw a brother and Sister Rogers. And they're going to be with us in July. They're going to be with us in July, and I'm looking forward to having them in. Next week, Brother Marshall and his family are going to be with us. I'm looking forward to having them all in. I received a card. We were going to actually go, my wife and I, but I received a graduation card. Hope has graduated from high school. Yay. Now, I want you to know something. Your child graduates from high school, and you either have a home, you know, a co-op of kids you know, and mom and dad you know, or you have the graduating class and their families, you know, because you're here with them and they're here. And so you send out cards to everybody and you send out cards to relation and so on like that. You say, come on in and blah, 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 and so on. And nothing wrong with that. And while my wife and I got a card from her, matter of fact, her mom said she knew that most of the people couldn't come because we're scattered all over the country, but there were people that they just wanted to write a card and say, I'm graduating. And we couldn't at that time. The babies were being born. She was down south. I was up here trying to play Mr. Mom. And it was really complicated. And I thought to myself, did it ever occur to you that that girl has paid a certain price of things that your kids and my kids don't know? Number one, there is no paper route that she can do. There is no summer job she can get. They're constantly traveling. You know, they're constantly traveling not because God called her to. They're constantly traveling because God called mom and dad to. And God blessed those kids for being faithful and serving mom and dad while mom and dad serve the Lord. But there comes that time where that child's going to break off on their own. And there's a certain things that, whether we like it or not, they miss out on. We can see COVID, and all of a sudden there is no prom or there is no graduation. And we go, oh, those kids have missed out. But there's things right under our nose that kids suffer for the cause of Christ. I'm not talking about they're bleeding to death. I'm not talking about this is a lifelong scarring. But it's a missing out. He said, we've been called to the ministering to the saints. He's not talking about ministering the word here. He's not even at this point necessarily talking about prayer for the saints. He's talking about a physical need, and they need it. And I think, I want to help them, they said. I want to help their need. Would you notice that it was not, number one, it was not that there were people in Jerusalem who were poor and they weren't. The poor saints of Jerusalem were poor. And yet here it says their poverty. These people that are going to give abundantly are in poverty also. This is a great example of the love of Christ, and it's duplicated in the book of Acts. In chapter 11, I believe it is, the Bible says that they were there was a dearth coming along. It was going to be a worldwide dearth. And those in Antioch said, we need to send help to the poor saints at Jerusalem. Well, help me, but I mean, a worldwide dearth would include Antioch. They're going through the same thing, and yet their mind wasn't on them. Their mind was on somebody else. And when I talk about these things, we would say, matter of fact, I could say this, and I will say this. And I'm going to say this, then I'm going to clarify, okay? You have no idea what it's like to be raised in a pastor's home unless you've been raised in a pastor's home. Because there are certain scrutinies you have that nobody else has. There are certain difficulties you have, and they would, I mean, you guys know it. But my kids never had to say goodbye to me while I went to the other side of the world. I can go see my grandkids. You say, well, they could call. Yeah, I know they could call, but you're so limited on how you can help. My kids never had to adjust to a culture because they were raised in a strange culture. My kids never had to say, I don't really have a circle of friends because we're constantly at different churches every week and we're constantly traveling, and the church that actually was putting on the graduation thing for this young lady, their house in Kentucky is next door. Do you know where their family's at? Alaska. You know where their home church is at? Alaska. Why? Because God has called him to travel the country and to preach. And therefore, you're constantly away from someone. You're raised on the road. Now, you either see that as an issue or you don't. It's like someone said, well, the poor saints at Jerusalem, well, Jerusalem should have been more zealous about getting the gospel out. May it have been different. Okay, take that hard line. Go ahead. But the churches of Macedonia said, we ought to help. We can. I think we can do something for them. Now, I'm not looking. Here's the great news. This doesn't end with an offering. This doesn't end with an offering. It's not the point of it. The point of it is pointing at or giving a perspective of a heart that God said, this church is a poor church, it's a suffering church. The Apostle Paul said to a church of Corinth, a multicultural church, a wealthy church, a seaport church, he said, let me teach you guys something about ministry. And he picks this poor church and he says, they know something, not because they have the resources, but because they have the heart. That's the thing. Does not the Bible teach us that one of the primary goals we should have? He said this. He said, now abideth three things: faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these, charity. Charity hideth a multitude of sins. But charity does. It says, charity, love, is the bond of perfectness. We all talk about being perfected, being what Christ wants us to be. He said, you know what the bond of it is? Have you ever tried to, I used to get models sometimes when I was a kid. You wanted to try out putting them together without the glue before you glued them. Anybody ever tried to do that? And everything starts falling apart, you know, and you try putting them back and trying to fall apart, right? That, you know why? Because you don't have the bonding there. The glue's the bonding. The glue makes it stick. I'm not saying that you can't maybe achieve perfection without love, but it's not going to stick. Because love is the bond of perfection. And what they were doing is charity. It's love in action. It's giving. And they were giving. And they were being a help. And he said this. Look in our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm not going to be much longer. I'm once again going to prove that I can do an abbreviated service. That's the last time I'm going to say anything, brother. Honestly, I'm just joking. That was the last thing I'm going to say. I want you to look at this. He says in verse 4, praying us with much entreaty, praying us, they, the churches of Macedonia, were praying to us, they were asking of us, they were begging of us with much entreaty, with much begging, that we would receive the gift. Please take this gift. Please take this gift. Look up here. It gives you the idea of Apostle Paul saying, no, you guys can't afford this. No. There's churches richer than you. The other churches should bear up on this. They were begging him that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowshipping of the ministry of the saints. The fellowship of the ministry of the saints. Let me talk to you for a few minutes, okay? Over the past couple of weeks, I've ran across some circumstances and situations. I said, Lord, it's not that I couldn't do something. I could, personally. But there are some things and some situations that although we could do it on an individual basis, we could show it far greater with a collective act of love. I knew I was going to when I went to see him, but the couple I told you about that I saw up north in Toledo, he's going to be here July. Now, I'm saying this for a couple of reasons, okay? So listen to me, hear me out. I told him, I said, I got the letter from your daughter. I said, it was precious. I said, I'm sorry we couldn't make it. We were going to go down to Franklin, and we were going to go to it, but then the babies came along, and I already told you about that. I said, you know what we could do? It's when they're here, we're going to have a Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. It's going to be a normal service time when they're here. And wouldn't it be neat if we just decided after church that we'd have a place set up downstairs, and we'd have a cake for her, and we'd have a little basket for people to throw some cards in, and we'd give her what she doesn't necessarily get because... You say, well, other churches could, and I hope they do. I'm not concerned what other churches do. The issue is recognizing what the ministry, I'm going to say this very carefully, what the ministry took from her. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't a loss. I'm not saying the ministry isn't, God's good on what he gives, right? But there were things that she didn't enjoy, and she didn't enjoy them because mom and dad said, we'll answer the call. And when churches would look out and say, you know what we're going to do? We see that plight. We see that situation. And I think we could be a blessing. I don't know about you, but when we do something like this, in the middle of the food and the fellowship and the cutting of cake and the offering of gifts and whatever it is, there's a joy that seems, there's just a spirit of joy that seems to encircle the place. You know, I think that's the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Yeah, I'm not doing it for that. I can't wait to do it because I'm going to feel good when it happens. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying born out of a heart of, you know what, there's some things that she didn't have a class, and I know homeschoolers don't necessarily have a class. I get that. I understand that. There's a lot of things older that I'm thinking about that I never thought about younger. I'm sorry. But you know what I'd like to see done here? I need someone to do it. I can't do it. Don't ask me to do it, okay? We have homeschoolers here. You know what homeschoolers miss out on? They miss out a lot of times on a graduation, a genuine graduation. They miss out on a big spread and a big deal because we just finished graduation. Lindsay missed out on that. Now the boys, they went to school, they had a graduating class. And I think annually we ought to not just acknowledge those that graduated. We do that. A man put on a thing downstairs for him. Big deal. You say, why? I don't know about you, but I think it's better off. Listen, I'm not going to gripe about you if you send your kids to a public school. I'm not going to gripe to you if you send your kids to a private school. But God bless those parents that take enough serious responsibility. You know, I think I need to homeschool my kids, teach them about Scripture, and keep them away from the influence and so on like that. But make no mistake, they lose out. They lose out on sports. A lot of times. You say, that's not a big deal. You know why? Because you're older. It's not such a big deal to me now, but it was when I was a kid. And you miss out on those things. I've even thought about this. I've even thought about, and don't hold me to all these things, but you just raise your hand and say, I will not hold you to all these things, okay? I will not hold you to all these things. But I told my wife here a while back, I said, I've thought about going out and trying to find a church league in softball and get the thing dug back up and get a softball diamond back over there. Just so some of the kids in the church that didn't have a chance to do something in sports could at least get out and play some sport. You say, what is that? It's not that I care. I mean, honestly, I'd have to hit a home run to get to first base now. It's not for me. It's I see for the cause of right. Can we say that? For the cause of right, I see people that miss out. Just like they took a stand. They could have kept silent as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus did. They could have kept silent, but they didn't. And it cost them. And the church says, we need to do something. One thing this church has always done well, I didn't bring it with me. It seemed to be here, and more than one time I've fostered it, and more than one time I've allowed it to kind of grow weeds and dry up some. But one thing they've always done well, they've always loved missionaries. They've always wanted to help missionaries out. I'm just here to tell you that it's even beyond the missionaries. There's people that we can say, you know, this is not necessarily even for mom and dad. It's for that kid. I appreciate kids. Well, you're going to find Sunday, you're going to find some kids, young men. They sing great. They've got a great voice. They really do. Mom and dad, sweet couple. Those kids have traveled. Well, dad. Brother Marshall was one of the Marshall kids that traveled with the Marshall family. If you ever listen to the Marshall music, can I say it like this? How many have ever heard the Marshall family music? Can I say this? Then we owe them. Because we've reaped of their spiritual things. Does that make sense? That's the principle here. That's the principle. We've reaped spiritual things. You ought to reap our carnal things. And so I'm going to tell you like this. I'm going to give you a couple of things that we're going to do, and then I want to give you a principle or give you a thought. July, when Brother and Sister Rogers come in, that evening after the evening service, I want to have the place set up downstairs. I want to have a graduation party. Can we call it a party? Let's call it a fellowship. A graduation fellowship. And you can bring a card, or you can put a card and the money in it. We'll have a basket for you to drop that in. I already told them about it. I said, we want to have something for you. And you say, well, you didn't tell us about it. I said, I know you. And I really doubted that anybody would be against doing something like this. That's not why I taught this. It's just that there's a few things in the past couple of weeks that have come up where this is ministering to the saints, not ministering to us and each other. This is ministering to people outside our church, people that have given to the Lord, people that have served the Lord. At the very least, I believe God looks and says, I'm pleased with that. Yeah. You say, what about the young man going to see his family? Whether you realize it or not, he's paying a price for the gospel's sake, because mom and dad's staying faithful over there on the other side of the ocean. And he wants to go over and see him, and he's got a job, and he's making a little bit of money. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. You know what it has to do with? It has to do with the church saying, we thank you for the sacrifice, whether willingly or unwillingly, that you made. I know kids said, I would have liked to stay with my mom and dad, and they couldn't. Yeah, amen. Now here's the point. Sometimes it's like that, and sometimes, and I'm just going to tell you this, there's times I've had people in to sing. I've had people in to preach. And I wouldn't have them in if I didn't think they wouldn't be a blessing to you and to us. But I also knew they needed a blessing. And I knew it. What you need to understand is you have no idea who steps in the pulpit that just doesn't need to be encouraged. So they're just coming in to preach, preacher. I mean, how do I know if they... I mean, how could I encourage them? Show up. Wouldn't that be a good start? Just to show up. I don't know. If I came out, went to a church somewhere, and I preached Sunday morning to a crowd of 50, and Sunday night 3 showed up, I was thinking, what did I say wrong? And I'd be wondering, was it me? It's just a joy when you come out and people want... It's not a matter of we like you, but we love the Word. And when you get someone around people that love the Word, there's just something that's encouraging there. And you have no idea the shot in the arm. Did I tell you that we have Brother Ingeseth coming in the end of July? He's coming in for a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He called me. He said, Brother Greer. I said, yeah, brother. He said, we started talking. I said, brother, I said, I've been thinking about him. I said, I've been thinking about calling you. He said, that's why I'm calling you. He said, there's churches we've been at that we go back to, and there's churches we've been at that we want to go back to. He said, I called you because we'd love to come back there. I said, brother, we'd love to have you. Now, you know what he said? He said, if I have been a blessing to you, know this, you've been a blessing to me. That's the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So when you come to church, it's not all about you. It's not all about us. There's a man there that's in front of us, and you're either going to be an encouragement or a discouragement to him. You're going to be a shot in the arm or a slap in the face. And what I want us to get in our mind is, God, when people come in to minister to me, when missionaries come in and they've got kids sitting there that I know in about 2 years are going to leave this country and go to a country where the skin color is not the same, the language is not the same, the food, the diet's not the same, the whole thing's different. God, help me to realize it's not like they're not paying a price. Help me realize heavenly, their rewards are beyond comprehension. God keeps good records. God keeps good books. Can we agree? I'm not talking about trying to make up for that. God's going to reward very well. I'm talking about here and now. I'm talking about this place. He said, Corinth, he said, you've got the riches, they don't. Corinth, you've got the ability, they don't. Corinth, you've got the education, they don't. But they know something about ministering to the saints. Let me tell you something. I've been here long, well, I've been here quite a while now. And you know, so that, whether that's good or bad, I've been here for a long time. And I'm telling you what, I'll give it with this and then we'll close, okay? This is the best way to explain it. People come in all the time. They say, your church has been such a blessing. They come in and you sing loud. You don't sing loud to say, is that a blessing? You sing loud to sing praises unto your God, but that in itself becomes a blessing. There's been times we had people come in, we've taken an offering up, and the offering, for whatever reason, was sizable. And they say, you have no idea, but this has come in and say, and you ministered to someone's need, you had no idea. So why don't we hear about that? Would you like all your needs displayed for everybody to hear? You know what you do? You thank God that he let you and I give a need. The brother was back here with a truck. The truck was broke down, $5,800. We have surplus, and so we sent him $2,500. You say, why? Just be a blessing to it. Ministering to the saints, that's what it's about. I came here many years ago, and when I did, I didn't know anything. I mean, zero. Looking back, I'm embarrassed. Didn't know anything about pastoring a church. Missionaries would come in. I knew that. You call missionaries in. So missionaries called me. Yeah, come on in. Come on in. We had a lot of missionaries coming through. They'd come in and you'd say, hey, brother. And I don't know anything to be but who I am. So it's, hey, brother, how you doing? He said, just fine. Now, stiff. And the children came in. And I'm going, what planet do these people come from? And then we go out after church. I mean, he was proper. I'm not talking about anyone in particular, just individual. He was proper. They were proper. They were had their hair combed right, dressed right, everything, just every hair in place. And then after the service, we'd go over at that time to Frisch's because it was the only thing here, literally. So we'd go over there and we'd sit down. As I began to talk, I just saw that persona melting, and they became them. Most of the time, that was a blessing. A few times, it was like, I wish they hadn't become them so much. But most of the time, it was a blessing. And I remember looking at my wife. I said, what is the deal? And it hit me. They were under inspection in every church they went to. We're going to judge you by how you look. We're going to judge you by what you know to do and not do. If your kids don't, listen, your kids act up. That's going to say a lot to us. And they were judged in every church, and I realized it. So I bowed my head many years ago. Remember, Sonia, I bowed my head, and I said, God, if I can't do anything else right, can we be an oasis for missionaries that come through? And so we were just going to love them and appreciate them and give them a good love offering. And thus was born the missions program, if you would, of this ministry. You have no idea how many times missionaries left and say, brother, this was a breath of fresh air. You have no idea how many times that I have gotten the credit. And by the way, I don't keep it, but I've gotten the credit for what this did. And I've said, you're thanking the wrong guy. I said, there's a church full of people, and that's the reason they were a blessing. By the way, Brother Bisco, Georgia, missionary, we support him. You all know who he is. Pray for him, yeah? Him and his wife. His wife just had a baby. He called me up. He told me, during COVID, they stopped in. We had like five people. He's over here. You know what he said to me? He said, there's a few churches that have taken us on, a few churches we've been at. And if we didn't have a home church, it could be our home church. This is one of them. He just texted me, brother, we're coming through in such and such. I said, yeah. He said, we thought if you had nothing going on, we could stop in and see you. I looked at the calendar and said, we have nothing going on. So we'd love to see you. What a joy is to have a missionary say, I want to go back there. You know why? Because whether financially or whether prayerfully or whether fellowship or whether encouragement, they found the ministering to the saints. And so, dear brethren, whether it be a graduation downstairs or whether it be some funds that we would send to help a young man who had to leave his mom and dad because of the country God called them to, and he's getting to go back and see him for about 2 weeks, whether it be helping him with that, or whether it be a preacher that comes in and gets up and preaches, would you not forget, what's my part in the fellowship of the ministering to the saints in this? I can be there. If there's an offering, I may not be able to give much. If I can give something, I may not much, but I can give something. I can go back and shake hands at that ministry and say, you were such a blessing. Thank you. There's been times we have missionaries here and they said, should I take questions? I said, go ahead. And they spent 20 minutes on questions. Could people ask him questions? He said, I never normally get that many questions. I said, well, amen. I said, next time you're here, you may not get that many here. I don't know, but you got them tonight. You know what that said? We are interested in you. You know what the blessing is? Ministering to the saints. You say, praying for the saints. Yes, praying for the saints. But when you see them or hear them and say, hey, has the baby come yet? And all of a sudden the stuff that they're writing in their prayer letters, they're hearing you repeat, because most missionaries believe their prayer letters get read by about that many people. Now you read it not to be a blessing, but hey, listen, I heard this was happening, blah, blah, blah. I was so happy to hear that. You just ministered to them. Why? Because someone is reading what I'm writing. So I'm done with this. As we move forward, never ending till Jesus comes, would you in the back of your head put ministering to the saints? God, help me to remember, this may not just be an evangelist coming in to preach to me because we need to revive, but he might need ministered. I don't know what's going on in his life. I don't know. Do you remember the last time, and I'm going to say it because we're online, but there was a singing family couple. They come here annually. They have older children and one just graduated. Are we okay? We got to know who I'm talking about, right? And I was sitting there and I was watching them. And I'm looking at two kids that were never called to travel the country. They were called to obey mom and dad. Mom and dad was called to travel the country. And they have been such wonderful children in obeying mom and dad while mom and dad fulfill their call to God. But dad gets the check. Dad gets the love offering. And I thought at that time, I thought, you know what? We're going to take an offering up for them. We're going to give them the money. That was born out of looking at the people that ministered to us and God, and realizing whether it's a sacrifice or whether it's an effort or a labor or a miss out or a lose out or whatever it is, it's looking at them and considering them. All I've tried to do today is show you some areas that we need to give consideration to people. And if we give consideration to people, you know what we'll become? We'll become more of a church that takes part in the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And I believe up in heaven, the God of heaven will look down and he'll say, Gabe Mayer, that's how it's done. Wouldn't that be nice? Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you.